Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by Luke. Let me say before I read the Gospel that there's a number of lines in this Gospel that are problematic. But listen carefully and I'll do my best to try to explain it afterwards. Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went, making his way to Jerusalem. And someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "You strive to enter through the narrow gate. Many will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open for us.' But he will say in reply, 'I do not know where you came from.' And you will say, 'But we ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' And he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and they will recline at table in the kingdom of God. But remember, some who are now last will be first. And some who think they are first will be last." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Okay, let's start with the first reading, which was the very end of the book of Isaiah. Where at the very end, Isaiah says that what is happening to the Jewish people is not just for them, but for everybody. He ends with a note of universalism, that the temple of Yahweh will be the centerpiece of all the world, that it's not to be a tribal religion, but a universal religion, which is why we early on, in the second century already, this new Christian people called themselves Catholic, which means universal. They recognize that what they were doing was not for any select tribe or ethnicity or race, but for everybody. That's why we're here right now. Now, only with that as a setup are you prepared, perhaps, to understand this gospel. Now, first of all, it's the weaving together of a number of different passages that are in different places in the other three gospels. So that makes it a bit difficult. We're not sure what the thread is or the consistent theme. But let's start with where it starts. The asking of the question, will only a few be saved? And maybe somewhere in your life you've all asked that question. If we follow our own criteria of who's right and who's wrong, who's going to heaven and who's going to hell, it sure appears that very few are going to heaven. So you sort of want to give up. And that's what's happening right here. Will only a few really make it? Well, he does encourage them or inspire them or invite them by saying, "You strive to enter through the narrow gate." In other words, take your journey, your spirituality seriously. This is an urgent question. It's not a light-hearted question. And that could well be called a narrow gate and certainly challenges all of us. Is when we wake up in the morning, the early question in our mind, how can I be as loving as possible today? I think that might be the narrow gate. If you really make your spiritual journey serious, it's not just now and then, or even now here in church, but in fact, the entire thing that motivates your life. So that's a good starting place. Then he says, many will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. And the master will lock the door. So we start getting scared. It sounds like it's a message more of exclusion than inclusion. It seems to have turned around. Are we being invited? Are we being excluded? For me, because I've been asked this question so much in my life and in so many groups, one of the best and most helpful lines is what a number of our saints said, who said, "No one is going to hell unless they want to. God condemns no one to hell unless they choose to live in hatred and evil and disharmony. It's always our choice." Now, from our side, it looks like God is kicking us out, but the message, the wisdom of the ages seems to be, we only kick ourselves out. If you want to go to heaven, in other words, if you want to live in love, and they're the same thing, you will live in love. But it's your decision, and that's the narrow gate. Pope John Paul II, who was certainly not some great liberal, he said in 1999, and it can still be recorded, he said, "When will Catholics realize that heaven and hell are not geographical places, they're states of consciousness?" Let me repeat it. Heaven and hell are not geographical places, they're states of consciousness. And if that's true, there is probably, I hope not, but there's probably people sitting in this room right now who are in hell. Yeah. You want to be miserable, you're hateful, you're negative, you're oppositional, you love to pick fights, you love to exclude other races and other religions. That's an attitude of hatred, and that's hell. And that's right now. St. Catherine of Siena said, it's heaven all the way to heaven, and it's hell all the way to hell. You're choosing right now, do you want to live in love and communion with God and your neighbor? Or do you want to live in a constant fight? And as we listen to our politics, that appears to be the only conversation America knows, is how to fight. How to be angry, how to be hateful, how to tell lies. Who can we exclude now? Which race, which religion, which group is unworthy to make ourselves supposedly worthy? That's hell. And an awful lot of our people, even those who call themselves Christian, it seems to me, are living in hell. And that's why he says, many of you will knock at the door and say, we ate and drank in your company just as you're about to do. He's saying it's not belonging to the right group. It's not being in the right place of Israel, but it's having the right attitude. And that crosses all boundaries of group. Because you and I know, at least I hope you know, there are many Muslim people and Jewish people and Protestant people, which should be the easiest for us to understand, who are much more in love and serving their neighbor and doing volunteer work for the poor than there are Catholics. And let's just be honest about that. Huh? Catholics are not known for volunteerism or service to the poor. They mostly just attend church. And that's exactly what he's saying. That's not it. Belonging to the right group and eating and drinking in God's company. And then he rightly says there will be great regret when you recognize how wrong you were, how deeply you missed the point. And he describes it as wailing and grinding of teeth when you see everybody else. And in fact, the great disappointment is a lot of the people who you were sure would not be there, damn it, they are. And you're not. In other words, be ready to be surprised about who is in love, who is living a life of love and service, and who isn't. And it's all summed up in the great and final punchline, remember, many who appear to be last will be first. And so don't be too quick, I'm sure you're not, to think you're first. Because he says, you might just be last. I think this keeps us all humble and searching and recognizing it's not even any of our business. It's none of my business. It's none of yours. Take it out of your mind to decide who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. It's not your concern. That's the work of God. And he says in another gospel, just know that for what you seems impossible is always possible for God.